Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I remember some years back, I'd gone somewhere and I'd gone to seek the Lord, and I was fasting and praying for 3 days. Now on the first day, after praying some time, the first thing that came to that song, "Lovely Are Your Dwelling Places," it popped up inside me and I started playing it on my phone from YouTube, and it changed the atmosphere completely. And I played it over and over and over again when I was praying, when I was meditating. I played it over and over again, and it created such a beautiful atmosphere. It was so good. I wanted to sleep, but like the atmosphere was so good. So then I slept. Then I woke up the following day, and I went to pray. Then I tried to play the same song, and now it was dead completely. There was nothing in it. That's when the Lord revealed to me that every day has a new thing. Like, just because it was good yesterday. Yesterday it was good because it came from within you. It was, it created the presence of God because it came from your spirit. And it was the song for the day. But you cannot make it a method. So now every time I want that presence, I'm going to play this song. It will not work. It worked that time and it did not work again. Of course, immediately. I was trying to turn it into a method, which is one of the biggest things with our modern day living. Like, we try to create a bureaucracy of God and say that if you do this, you get this result. If you do this, you get this result. But you see, people do not behave like that. And there is no such rule with God, because God is a person. He's not a bureaucracy. Because the bureaucracy, if you fill in your forms like this, you will get your visa. If you qualify like this, you will not get it. I mean, you will get it. If you do this, that's how bureaucracies work. But human beings don't behave like that at all. And I remember I had an uncle of mine who was a very, very tough man. He was actually a very angry man. I've never known somebody to be angry all his life for some reason or the other. And the kind of person whom you just want to avoid. Because anything can turn him off. But then I had a younger brother of mine who, for some reason, had favor with him. He could do anything stupid, and my uncle would say, "Man, Like, now, if you saw the way that man used to beat his own children, you'd tie them on a tree and beat them, and you just marvel at what kind of man this is. But then my son, my brother, who wasn't even his child, who was just his, you know, nephew, the guy would be seated there, everybody is avoiding him. He was sick, he had some issues. So he was not happy, he was not a happy man. And but then my brother, for some reason, always, he never got angry at him. Now, things which nobody would dare do, my brother would do. One day he came running and came and slid like this in front of the guy and stopped right in front of him. Then my uncle said, "Hey, break guard, If anybody else had done that, the whole head would..." So then you realize that people are different. There's no way you can structure somebody and say, anyway. So the point of me saying that is that it's Psalms 19, which says, "Day unto day utters speech. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Now, what was yesterday's knowledge is not today's what? Knowledge whatsoever. It's totally different. So anyway, that's what I learned. I was just telling you I learned that day. That just like your stomach needs different food, even your soul needs different food. It needs a different song. There was a time I woke up and the song that was coming to me was this one which the choir sang so well. I fear no evil. How does it go? Though I walk through shadows, what? Shuvaris, I'll fear no evil. Eh? Now, I just woke up to the song and I played the whole day and it took me in a certain place. Try that the next day, you'll see. It's not going to happen. That's not how it works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so people don't realize how much the soul, how much what your soul feels like is very important in your walk with God, your soul. And God places so many things just to, for your soul. Places, you know, different songs, different people, different messages, and so on. There's a time and you see, if you miss something so small, just through the leading, there was a time I reached home and I'd come from listening to some powerful message. Then I arrived home and then I find a certain man of God, clearly a man of God, preaching about something which was so important. Okay, not so important, but a good message. And then I played the thing on my phone, and immediately I felt the Spirit telling me, switch that thing off. Switch it off. But then now it was, curiosity had the better of me. So I said, let me first see what point is he trying to make here? So I listened. Then eventually, that thing telling me to switch it off stopped. And then I listened to the whole message. When I finished, I had gone down. By the time I started listening to the message, I was in a high place. I had arrived home. I was just going to, you know, have a very light meal. And I was like on fire. I was going to pray the whole night. I listened to that message. And it was a message of a man of God. I listened to it. Everything crumbled down. I did not even pray. All the mood died immediately. Because I was eating a meal which wasn't meant for that time. So there is a meal for everything. Your soul needs a different meal, or just like your body. Amen? When you're thirsty, you don't eat ugali and beans. Because that's not what your body is demanding at the time. So now, and when you do, you actually mess yourself up, the whole thing. So anyway, my point is the soul, and people don't realize how the enemy attacks their soul, bit by bit. Now in Joshua chapter 5, when the children of Israel were crossing over the Jordan into the promised land. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Go to verse 8. Start from verse 6, let's say. It says, for the children of Israel had walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, and that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Go ahead. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. In other words, all those who were born in the wilderness were uncircumcised. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Now, another word for reproach is shame. Now, their fathers had come from the wilderness and God had promised them something. But after so many years of being slaves, it was so difficult for them to conceive what God had in plan for them. And actually, when they were coming out of the wilderness, God had a plan. He says earlier in Deuteronomy that I'm going to take them. He would not take them through the shortcut from the Red Sea, where the Red Sea ended, to Canaan. Because that is an 11 days journey, according to the scripture. It's 11 days journey from after they'd crossed the Red Sea to Canaan, where they were going, the promised land. But God said, let me take them through a long route. And he said, lest they see war and they run. They are not yet ready for war. They are still slaves in their mind. Everything about them is slaves. And by the way, slaves behave the way those children, the way those people behaved. They feel they're entitled to everything. It can come off as when somebody is not used to a certain place, they despise it. I'll give you an example. If you go and get one of, let's say, your relatives from deep in the village, and then bring and try to give them a good life here, they will show you. They will despise the life you're giving them, and they will despise you along with it. Isn't it? Now, that's why even God has to take us bit by bit. Because if he just rushed you into something big, you despise him, and you despise it, and you despise him. So imagine, what if God had said, okay, these are slaves. I want to take them to the land of milk and honey. So, since I am God, I can just go and destroy all the people who are there and tell them, okay, now go and occupy the land. It's there before you. Do you know what would happen? They would despise the land. They would never value it. Let me tell you, God puts us, makes us fight for it. Because if you've not fought for it, you will never value it. And that's how the human soul is. The scripture says that a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul in Proverbs. Now, when you set out to do something, and you find yourself and you accomplish it, that's where the joy comes, when there was some effort. Without the effort, there is no joy. Praise the Lord. That's why I pity people these days who are sitting exams using ChatGPT. Where do they get we are going to produce somebody put a meme on social media that your future doctor is passing exams using ChatGPT. You had better learn to eat healthy. Because because what is he going to tell you? He passed exams by what? By ChatGPT. So he has no knowledge. Now, where is the joy? Now, there is something that, I don't know, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. That's the scripture I'll say. So, my point is this. Now, what if God had just gotten them and taken them there? Now, I'm going to destroy all these people and situate you in the land. That's not how it works. It has never worked like that. And God knows that's not how the human soul is. Regardless of how beautiful and wonderful something is, it is valued on the basis of the effort that was put in acquiring it. If there was no effort, there is no value. So God thinks this is a powerful land. You're supposed to be happy, but you have to fight for it, because any other way you will not value it. So anyway, he took them through that. Then they refused to come out of Egypt. Their minds were permanently in Egypt. Permanently. And there are so many people I know who are here who have that mentality. You leave some place and you're always saying, man, my previous job. And maybe even God took you away from there and has taken you somewhere else. And you're supposed to leave Egypt. And like take your mind away from it. And now, because you will not focus, or even a previous relationship. The people who suffer the most, especially in relationships, are those who don't know how to cut off and move on. Praise the Lord. If you learn that if it's not working, just cut off and move on. It's not working. It will save you a lot. But there are people who will stay around the decision phase. Can you imagine? Then everybody they meet. Can you imagine what he did to me? He did this to me. He did this 1 year. He did this to me. 2 years. Can you imagine? But these guys, 3 years. Can you imagine? And you're wasting your time. Nothing of what he did to you is going to be reversed. But then somewhere, somebody says, I'm taking my mind out of Egypt. Because that's your Egypt. And saying, there is a promised land ahead of somebody who is better. But for me to reach the promised land, I have to take my mind away from Egypt. So I had a bad experience before, but that's behind me. Now I'm going ahead. That is true for business. That's true for everything. You have to learn how to cut off and say, I entered this thing, it's going to work. It did not work. End of story. Now I have to get my mind out of Egypt. Otherwise, you also die where? In the wilderness. Because you left Egypt, you're not going to go back. But you don't arrive in the promised land. So you're in the wilderness dreaming about Egypt. So you end up dying in the wilderness. And that is the fate of what? Now here, God tells these children of Israel that today I've removed the reproach of Egypt from you. That means the shame of slavery, of being slaves, I've removed it from you. And now that reproach, you've never been a slave. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you don't have some reproach of some kind. Even if you've never actually been a slave. I'll give you an example. Let's say there is this. And these are things which happen in our society. So we are not going to pretend they don't happen. So let's say there is this beautiful young girl. Let's say at university. And she's intelligent. She's doing well. She looks good. But she's broke. She doesn't have money. Then there are these young guys who look like what? They look like him. Who are pimps. Pimps for rich men. So rich men go and tell them, go and get for us girls. They look like this guy. So, I'm joking, I'm just speaking on him. So now let's say, he goes and approaches one of them. Ah, there's some man. He's giving 2 million. Now, you don't realize that. Let me tell you, this world can be deceptive. It can be very, very deceptive. So now, of course, the girl says, no, I can't do that. That's not how I was raised. That's not who I am. I have more dignity than that. But then it doesn't stop there. It didn't stop there with Eve. You see, the Bible summarizes it. You might find that the devil even took 1,000 years or even 10,000 years convincing Eve. Because there was no time in that zone where they were. Okay? The real clock starts rolling when man fell. But in that spiritual world, there is no time. So, it doesn't stop there. You say, oh, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I'm giving an example just to show you something. But then, this guy comes back and says, no, he's even offering more. Now, something is getting into your head slowly. Then the next time you don't have money for food, guess what you think about? The next time you see your friends who are having nice clothes, nice handbags, nice, you know, those things, guess what crosses your mind? Then suddenly, you start imagining what you could use 2 million for. But you still cannot do it. But I'm just thinking, what would 2 million do for me right now? I'm just thinking. Now you don't know you're going down. And people don't realize that the devil sets up a trap for your soul. Like, and he spares no effort. None whatsoever. Now guess what will happen? When he has come for you and you're the subject, and he wants to pull you down, and here I'm not even talking about morals. That's not even the purpose of my talking about this. The next thing you'll hear is you'll find one of your friends who will take you out for lunch and she seems to be doing well and what. Then you ask her, how do you get money? She says, man, for us we know how we get our money. Now you don't know the devil has put that person there to be part of the process. You see, The person says, me, I went and, man, just 30 minutes and I have my money. And she would even say, even those are even fake old men, it even takes 2 minutes only. They don't have stamina. And you get your what? Your money. You get your money. Now, so now, you think it is coincidence that you met this person. It is not. Like the devil has plotted everything, he has surrounded you properly. The next time you look, then he pulls off his master stroke. The master stroke of the enemy is to tell you that everybody is doing it. Everyone is doing it. You don't know one who is still what? Being stubborn, like, it is a lie. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah went to the Lord and said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. All the prophets have all gone to Baal. All of them, I'm the only one left. And he was convinced he was the only one. And the devil is a master of creating an illusion. An illusion is a false reality where he makes you think you're the only one who is. And God, by just telling him that, no, you're not the only one. There are 7,000 other people who have not bowed to Baal. Just that encouraged Elijah. Because the enemy had created Jezebel and had created a scenario where everybody has gone. I'm the only one left. Do you know how that weakens people for the most part? So God, just by telling him that, no, you're not the only one. There are so many others who have not bowed to Baal. Just that encouraged Elijah, the great prophet. So now the devil will come and also give you this illusion. By surrounding, but people don't understand how much spiritual activity takes place when the enemy is trying to bring somebody down. Then you leave that one, then you go the next day. You meet another girl, same thing. You meet another one, same thing. Then the next day this guy comes back. And then you again say no, but this time your no is not very firm. Your no is like, but you guys leave me alone. Then he goes away. Then the enemy brings others. I'm telling you something which happens in, now I'm just giving an example of this, but it can be anyway. So the next thing, you say, but you know what? Then you go, then you break your, what is coming after is your value, how you value yourself. Because that's everything here for everybody, how you value yourself. So anyway, you go, the first time maybe, because you're new, yeah, the money is big. So they give you, so you come, you are. There is a bit of shame, reproach. There is a bit of reproach and what? Yeah, but your purse is full. And now you can afford things you couldn't afford. Then the next thing, you go back. Then you go back. Now, but you see, the world is unforgiving. Like the world is, when the Bible says the devil is the god of this world, it means that the world is very unforgiving. After some time, they'll start offering you 200K. If you don't want, you leave. Now your value has gone down. After some time, you'll even look for someone to give you 20K at Omulama. And now you're completely finished. You're shattered. Everything has gone. You see, eh? And now the enemy had plotted that properly. He even places people around you. He does what? And he has put you in a place where... Now, that's how you find people. They settle for a life. Even some of people in believers here, somebody will come and show you that they can... I remember I met a girl like... She had settled for being like a third or fourth wife of some old man. And then you look at her, beautiful, talented and all, but she has settled for that. How did it start? You're seeing outwardly. Inwardly, she thinks that's what she deserves because she lost her value, her soul. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, on the outward, you look when she dresses up and what, you're seeing, oh, somebody dignified. But inside, she despises herself. There is a reproach attached to it. And she feels reproached, and so she will settle for this. Then you say, how can you settle for that? And in her mind, she's thinking, I'm grateful that even some man was interested in me, because she feels she's worthless. And it all came down through, you know, all of that. Now, that's how the children of... That's what the scripture says, reproach. Now, the unfortunate thing is somebody like that can be reconstructed and given their full value when they come to church. It can be totally reversed and they go back if they listen to the right message. But they also have to put effort on their own. And I gave an example of a girl, but I also know men, and I'm not talking sexual, but things where somehow I have seen, for instance, and I've seen it here. People who came here and you've been working for an Indian, and those people can put you down. Eh? There's a way they put you down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Where they treat you like you're crap, and it affects you. It affects your esteem. It affects the way you see yourself. And now, the next time, people are trying to, God is trying to bring you to this thing that, you know, I want to do great things with you, but you don't see it. You are incapable of seeing it. You are like the children of Israel. The reproach is all over you. So now there has to be a process of rehabilitation. And you come, and the process of rehabilitation starts. But you have to put an effort. Now, this is where people have a problem. you can diagnose yourself and say, there's something wrong with me. Okay? There's something wrong. And you see, if you refuse to diagnose yourself, you will not get healed. Because you'll wonder, why is somebody as beautiful as me dating? You know? Haven't you ever seen people like that? She has a good job, she has what, she has a good... But she's sleeping with a boda boda guy. Okay, not that there's anything wrong with boda boda. But there's nothing wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But my point is that, it even with men, he's a powerful man, but he's the one sleeping with the neighbor's house girls. Then you know there's something in his head. You're invading people's homes to sleep with what? their house girls. Then you know there's something in their head, and there's a reproach. Now in his mind, that's where he is. There's somebody who told me, he had an uncle who was a judge. But the guy could not spare any house girl. So even his wife would test the house girls for HIV. Because she knew standard. Standard. Now imagine, and this is a high court judge. When he comes out there, he moves what? But there's something in his head, there's a reproach. And did not start just, it started from somewhere. It started somewhere, and then it put him down. Now he starts thinking like that. So all the ranks that the world gives you, oh, you're a judge, you do what? In your head, there is reproach. And you end up doing things like that. Now, if you diagnose yourself, there is a solution. Here he said they were circumcised. Okay? And God said, I've taken away the reproach of Egypt from you. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about the circumcision of the heart. Okay? Paul talks about the circumcision of the heart, which means that you can circumcise your heart and restore your full value. But you have to say that I didn't know who I am. But now I'm going to know who I am. How God sees me. Because real value is what God sees you like. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, when it says at the end of, we are young and we thought like children, but when we grow, we think like what? Like mature people. Then he says, how do mature people? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away children's things. This is talking about spiritual, not, you know. Go ahead. Next verse. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. So he says, go back to the previous verse. Let's dissect this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, in other words, these are children things. Okay? Children things. Now go to the next verse. For now, as a child, I see in a mirror dimly. But then, when I become a man, I will see face to face. Now, as a child, I know in what? Part. But then when I become a man, I will know myself just as God knows me. So I get my value from what God knows about me. In other words, I know myself from what God knows about me. And I have to convince myself that I am so important that God valued me at the price of his son's life. That's how important I am. I regardless of what the world has pushed me to, as far as God is concerned, the value of me was the life of his son. When he wanted to purchase me, he gave the life of his son. So that's how valuable I am. Now you have to put that in your soul. You have to remove all the distortion that the enemy has put in you, because all those things that happen, it's just a distortion. The reality is your value has not gone down. But what has gone down is your perception of yourself. And the enemy creates a distortion. And now when God wants to do something powerful with you, there is a reproach. And you can go and circumcise yourself in the heart and say, no, regardless of what happened in the past, God, now I see myself, I know myself, even as I am known by God. How is that? Very valuable that he purchased me at the price of his own son's life. And he did not overpay. No. Praise the Lord. So that's how valuable I am. And then you start meditating and convincing yourself of that and seeing yourself as such. And then eventually all the reproach of Egypt goes away. And now you stand as the children of Israel after the circumcision, and they were a ready army after the reproach of Egypt. Before, their fathers could not fight because they had reproach. And by the way, make no mistake, one of the things the enemy uses is reproach, shame. That's why in Isaiah chapter 54, and this is a very important chapter in the Bible because it talks about everything that we get as a result of Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah 53 talks about, you know, the death of Jesus. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was what? All the prophetic, whatever. Now, when he goes to Isaiah 54, that's when he gives all the benefits that come to us as a result of Jesus' death. That's where he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's where he says, they shall surely gather together against you. But whoever gathers together against you will fall for your sake. That's why. But do you know what else it says? It says that you shall not be ashamed. There shall not be any shame. So in Christ, there is no shame. There is no reproach. Eh? Where he says, you see, earlier on, he says, you shall not be ashamed. Okay? In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear. And from terror, it shall not come to you. Go ahead. There's somewhere it says, you shall not be ashamed. Previous earlier verses. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced. Now, regardless of what happened in the past, as a result of Jesus' shame. Now, you see, you don't realize that the whole shame of being crucified naked and what, all that was part of taking away our shame. Okay? There is nothing that happened there that was by coincidence. Everything, every... When I was studying the end time and I saw the whole, the death of Jesus and how it was all choreographed properly to mean something, the whole thing, because there is no bigger event that ever happened, ever. You see, everything was choreographed. Even the timing. On Sabbath, or the Day of Atonement, starts at 3 p.m. You know, in the Jewish culture, when they are celebrating a day, it starts 3 p.m. the previous day. You know that. Like Sabbath is on Saturday, so it actually starts at 3 p.m. on Friday and ends at 3 p.m. when? Saturday. It doesn't start at midnight, no. It starts at 3 p.m. So if they were celebrating, let's say, Christmas, they don't. But if they were, it would start on 3 p.m. on 24th and end at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day. Now, on the Day of the Passover day, at 3 p.m., exactly, Jesus is arrested. Arraigned at all those hours, made something. Sentenced at midnight. Starts carrying the cross at 6 in the morning. Okay? At exactly midday, they nailed him to the cross. And the Bible says, there was darkness from the 6th hour to the 9th hour. Everything, even down to the 2nd, everything had to be done in a proper way. Even him appearing before the high priest. Okay? Jesus appears before the high priest. And they tell him that, is it true that this is, they start putting charges against him. Now, in the Old Testament, the sacrificial lamb, the lamb of sacrifice, was determined by the high priest. They would bring a lamb to the high priest, and the high priest examines the lamb and then says, this lamb is fit to be the lamb that will take away the what? The sins. So it's the high priest who determines the lamb. Of course, there were laws which they would follow. It has to be over 1 year. It has to be what? It has to have no blemish and so on. So then the high priest examines the lamb properly. Apparently from so many lambs, then he says, this is the lamb we are going to use this year. And in sacrificing it, it will atone for the sins of all of Israel. So, Jesus had to be sentenced by the high priest. Otherwise, he would not be the Lamb of God. So, he goes to the high priest. And the high priest said, he's deserving of death. He doesn't know what he's doing. But he's saying, Jesus, he's declaring Jesus as the Lamb. that is going to take away the sins of the world. But the high priest doesn't know what he's doing. So my point is this. Even the shame, all those things that he went through, everything was for a reason. Even the tears he shed in the Gethsemane, which says became like blood. If you study all of that, you know that there was an atonement for every aspect of our lives, every single one of it. So you know the stripes were for healing. This was what everything had a reason. It was all set there because that was the biggest event that ever happened before and that will ever happen after the death of Jesus Christ. Now, so he says, so he's ashamed, crucified naked. Of course, in the thing they show with loins for PG reasons, but the truth is he was naked. That's the truth. And ashamed. Why? You will not be ashamed. Amen? So, no matter what you did, you will not be ashamed. By the way, you don't know things for which you can claim this. You have no idea the things you can claim this for. And say, your word says, I shall not be ashamed. Somebody has some pictures of yours which are, you would rather they don't have. And you say, I will not be ashamed. That's what the scripture says. And you would wonder how they would disappear from his phone. No, I'm serious, by the way. I'm not joking. Like, it says, you shall not be ashamed. Jesus took all the shame for you. Praise the Lord. So now, he says, do not fear. You will not be ashamed. And you will not be disgraced. You will not be put to shame. Because shame or reproach is one of the tactics of the devil. Makes you think you are worthless. You are not worth. But then, he says, for you will forget the shame of your youth. And you will remember the reproach of your widow no more. So no shame. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But of course, if the devil can convince you that you remember what you did the other time, you have to approach it with scripture. And say, yeah, I know. I was in university. I needed money. But that's your business. Right now, there is no shame. I have been restored. I'm fresh. Praise the Lord. No matter what I did. You know, there are people who carry shame. Maybe somebody had an abortion and what. And somehow the devil will come and pump it in your head. Pump it in your head. No, there is no shame. Okay, it happened. It happens. That was a long time ago. Now I'm new. There is no shame. And I will accept no shame from the devil. Okay? I am cleansed, totally cleansed. All what would be all the bad things I did and that I might do in future, there is a blank check here. Do you know even it says that, go to verse 9. You see, it says, for this is like the waters of Noah. Now I want you to see how, it says this is like the waters of Noah to me. That is to God. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you. Now, never ever think God is angry with you. He cannot. He says, I swore I can never be angry. Praise the Lord. But somewhere, there are people teaching that God is angry. He will never be. He exhausted all his anger on Jesus. Now there is no anger left as far as he's concerned. Praise the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Now, I don't know what your pastor says, but the scripture says, I swore, just like I swore that I will never destroy the earth with a flood. Here, I have sworn that I shall not be angry. I shall never be angry. So what, regardless of what you do, like there is nothing you are going to do which is going to make God angry. It can cut you off from, you know, but he's not going to be angry. But I am angry, you know. But you see, when people get angry, they project their anger as if it is from God. But it's from them. Praise the Lord. Now, this whole Isaiah 54 has promises which are very powerful. The whole of it, after Isaiah, go to Isaiah 53, verse 1, we see. So it says, 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Hurry up, move faster. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as the root out of the ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. It's talking about Jesus. Okay? There is no beauty that we should desire him. Then it says, he's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, praise the Lord, so that I don't ever have to be despised. And we did not esteem him. Go ahead. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Go ahead. But he was wounded for our transgressions. So all this is about Jesus' sacrifice, the whole chapter. Now chapter 54 is all about what comes to us as a result of chapter 53. No shame, no anger. God has no anger towards you. He will never will. He swore. He can never be angry at you. Now, let me tell you, there are people who will teach you things which are not in the Word of God. But if you get out of the Word of God, you will enter into a dangerous place. So when somebody tries to tell you, where in the Scripture? I want you to read all the epistles from Romans, even from Acts of the Apostles, all the way up to the end. And you tell me where, the epistles, and you tell me where it says that God was angry. It's impossible. He cannot be. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so my point is this. But your soul, the enemy is an expert at creating distortions. And the distortions don't even have to be of the kind that I've told you. I'll give you an example. Do you know God put so many things in this world to soothe your soul? Let's say like art. I'm saying like fine art. Haven't you ever seen a picture and you feel a certain way? If it is done, a nice picture, you know? And it's done a certain way and you feel your soul is soothed. Or let's say like music. As in somebody can sing and you feel that your soul is soothed. Just by listening to music. And I'm not talking about worship. I'm talking about music, you know? So you sit down and you listen to somebody and you see that you, just because they have that talent, God gave them a such specific talent to soothe with music. So they will come out and sing some beautiful love songs and you just feel your soul. Now, when your soul is soothed, it will point you towards God inevitably. When your soul is happy and soothed, somehow you find yourself worshiping. When your soul is aggrieved and angry, you will not worship. You'll be in a disturbed place. So now what the enemy does is he comes and gets the things which God put in the world to soothe souls, and then he distorts it. He does not take it away because you look for it, but he distorts it. Now, I have seen some comedians who are real comedians who are, you know, there are people who are God gave comedy. And you know this one, God gave him comedy. Isn't it? Now you listen to that one, you laugh and your soul will be soothed. And God is doing something. And when your soul is soothed after laughing properly, when you go home, you'll even find it easier to pray. Because your soul is soothed. Now, and then or you can watch, you remember the movies that used to be those years? Not now. Those years where you could watch a movie, and I'm not talking about a movie of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm talking about a movie, and then you watch it and you feel a feel-good factor, like you feel nice, okay? And now your soul is soothed, and you don't understand that God wants your soul to. That's why he puts all those talents here. Somebody can come and play the violin and you just feel nice. He takes you in a certain place. Somebody can see. But now what the enemy did is he distorted. Now you watch the earth, and this is a very powerful end time thing. You watch the way the earth is right now. The enemy will get somebody who has no talent for comedy, nothing whatsoever, who is not funny whatsoever, and then the Hollywood will try to produce him into a comedian. Then when he makes comedy, you might laugh here and there, but you don't feel the soothing. It's like listening to me sing. And like you will them out. Like there's nothing. Because that's not my gift. Now you see, but what Hollywood would do, we'll come and get somebody who has the gift to sing and say, no. For you, we are going to make you a preacher. Then they go and get somebody who has a gift to something else, then say, for you are the one we are going to make a what? A musician. And then you find people, you listen to comedy, you don't get soothed. Because there's some guy called Kevin Hart. There is nothing funny about him. But they promote him. And then you listen to his jokes and your soul just goes down. You understand? Now, the other day, I accidentally landed on some guy who obviously is talented from God. You know, those things are given. And I'm not saying he's telling jokes about the Bible and what. You see, some of you people think that what? Everything has to be, you know. No. But the guy had this, and he didn't even have a big audience. He had a very small audience. And the guy just comes, gets a mic, and starts talking, and people are laughing. And are laughing, and he's so funny. Afterwards, after listening to him and laughing, I felt soothed. Now, when somebody does not have it and they force it on him, you feel like, okay, now like somebody like me who likes coffee and caffeine in coffee. If you give me coffee which does not have, I will drink and I will say, oh, man, what is this? So I want the, you understand? I want the real thing. I want my caffeine fix. So it has to come in a certain way. Then I drink and I feel, yeah, it has soothed my what? My soul, my desire for caffeine. Now that's for me. It might not be for you. Praise the Lord. But now, imagine if they give you decaffeinated. I tried it. I almost threw up. Like, I want the caffeine. Now they are saying we have taken out the caffeine. What's the point in coffee without caffeine? So, anyway. So that's the thing. Now, you can listen to comedy and it kills your soul. It grieves your soul. You understand? And you're grieved. Or now I'll tell you this. You think you'll ever see people coming up to sing? Like, now I pity people these days because all, even music has all been overproduced. But now if you listen to somebody, let's say like Whitney Houston, you look and say, this is somebody who God gave something. There is no doubt, no man can give this voice. It's not possible. So when you listen to her, you're soothed, regardless of what she's talking about. As long as it's a God-given, do you understand? Now even football, I used to watch football and get happy. These days I get bored because they have mechanics. I'll tell you this. I used to, every Sunday night, I would tune to watch Barcelona, to watch Messi. Because when I would watch Messi, I would feel soothed. Because the guy would play football and you just feel, man, he has tickled a certain desire of yours for football. Do you understand? And you feel satisfied. Then now they will show you a mechanic who has no talent, but is the one you're watching the Premier League. And you actually get aggrieved instead of getting happy. When you see, when there is real talent, now I look around and now you may find people who are talented, they don't give them contracts. I'm telling you, you will never see in Hollywood somebody like Whitney Houston right now. Even if somebody who had a voice like hers came up, they would quash them. And then they would give you people who have a voice like mine. And then you listen and you feel disgusted. Have you ever seen the movies these days? How they are very dark. And you think it's coincidence. It's not coincidence. I have failed to watch movies after 2015. Because the picture is dark, you have to stretch yourself to... Like, and it is... After watching the movie, you feel bad. And you... But do you understand what I'm saying? Am I communicating here? Now, whereas before, you'd watch a movie and you feel good. You see, after the movie, you even... you say, man, that was a nice movie. And there's something inside you which has been tickled. And now when you come from that place, and you're from soothing your soul... When a soul is soothed, it will point you, everybody, towards God. That's why God puts all those talents there, different talents. Somebody can play vibes, people can dance. Now, I have seen people dance and you just feel good. Now, you appreciate it more when you don't have it. When you are stiff-boned like me, and you see somebody dancing, you feel good. Until then, they get somebody like Robert to dance. then now you see him. Now, do you know what Hollywood does? It will get a comedian, a clear comedian, who has talent for comedy. Then you will be the one with the gun. And they have killed it. Then they will get somebody who has no who has no talent. And that's the one they will say, we are going to make a comedian. Like Kevin Hart. And then they are not doing it by mistake. They know what they are doing. Because if God has... There is somebody who was a friend of mine. And he even come and preached here at the Oshman. God gave him the gift to talk about sex. Now when he talks, when he reads the scripture, he sees sex in every verse. Even John 3:16, he sees what? Sex. But when he talks, you will never feel like he's vulgar or what. It is God-given, you understand? Eh? He ministers something because it is given by God. Now you get it and give it to somebody else, like Akena. When something has come from God, but I'm telling you, he would that guy would... he's the one who made me read Song of Songs. Because he had revelation. You know, eh? And now when you hear him, it is pure. It is not bad. It is pure. It is Bible. It's actually very pure. And it communicates something. Because every aspect of our lives, God catered for in his word. You understand that? So the guy would explain things. He would read a verse and then he brings sex out. This is where is sex in that verse? Where is sex in that? And it's not there, but he has seen it by revelation. He's the one who first showed me. Today I've come to scandalize you. So you'll be okay. You'll be fine. He's the one who first showed me a scripture in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, where God is telling the what? The women of Israel. That they have gone looking for men of Egypt because they are the ones who have things like for a horse. It's in the Bible. I'd never seen it until I spoke to that guy. He says that, you know, you have gone looking. And now that's the thing. You go looking. So there's, have you seen, do you know this obsession people have with big whatevers? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible where people shared each other. Where is it? For she lusted for her paramours, whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. You go to a more modern version, it will give you the what? Where is it? She lasted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys. That's the scripture, praise the Lord. Now, I did not know that scripture existed until I spoke to that guy. Somehow, the whole Bible from even... anyway, my point is this. But when you speak to him, when he spoke to married couples, when he spoke to people who are going to get married before they go to marriage, like he presented something so pure. And when he speaks, there is no vulgarity. It is purity. Amen. You give it to somebody else. Like Rego here. When Rego starts talking, you'll all run out. Here's the place will become untenable. But now, when that guy talks, it is nice. It is, you know, my point is this. So, I came here today to talk about what? The soul, right? And I've said this before. Your soul needs three things. To be soothed. Your soul needs a word. If you wake up in the morning and there is a word that is coming to you, don't just discard it. You can get, a portion of scripture and you just discard it. And you just think, I just thought about the scripture. No, you didn't just think about it. God is giving you food for your soul for that day. So you jump on that word and then you start thinking about it. Sometimes you might not even know where it is in the Bible. But you know it is in the Bible. So you go and search for it. Then you start meditating on it the whole day. by the end of the day, your soul will be expanded. Amen? The second thing is a song. When you wake up and a certain song comes to you, don't think it just came unless you listen to it. You know, you can be, you've not listened to a song in a long time, and it just pops up in your spirit. Now, that is an entry point. It's like a channel to something divine. So you jump on that song and play it, listen to it. You will find yourself being lifted up. And, you know, your soul, you know, going. The third thing which your soul needs, which is also very important, as I close this today, is a purpose. The worst place you can be is when there is nothing you're pursuing. Now, God, one of the most powerful things that God gives us is a purpose. So that you wake up every day and there's something that you're chasing. There's a purpose. What am I going? You know, there's a bigger purpose. But then there's a purpose, maybe for the week, for the day, and say, this week I have to have accomplished this and this and this and this. Now, that keeps your soul grounded. Because if you wake up on, let's say, Monday morning, and you don't know what you're going to do that week, you're just floating, you'll end up in a very bad place. You have to know for sure that the food for your soul is a word, a song, and purpose. Okay? This week I'm going to complete this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to accomplish this. By this day I'm going to be have done this and this and this. And so you set yourself out. And now that small, that week's purpose is part of a greater purpose for which you're pursuing. And now that's what keeps your soul grounded every day. Now when you have that, it becomes difficult for the enemy to come and penetrate your soul. And then also, if there's something you enjoy doing, let me tell you, these rich people you see, I was seeing an interview from some head of state, and they were telling him, what do you miss doing? Then he said, I just miss being normal, going to the, you know, to the beach, going for the opera, just being like it, I miss it. Just, you know, going. Now, I can imagine that at some stage in my life, I'll miss just going and sitting in a public place and enjoying my cup of coffee. Maybe it will not be possible that time. You see, eh? Now, the most powerful things in life are the things which people despise. Now, you ask those rich people, they go, they just want to go and see the vegetation. They want to go and, you know, in some, you know, I like water. I like water. Now, when I go to a beach somewhere and I just hear the sound of water, shh, like it soothes my soul. Now, if I spend so long without going there, I am not being nice to my soul. So be good to your soul, okay? If there's a certain meal you like, go and invest yourself. Go and soothe your soul, you understand? Eh? It says in Proverbs somewhere, that what? A righteous man feeds, Proverbs what, 13 somewhere. A righteous man feeds, eats food and is satisfied. His soul is satisfied. I think it's Proverbs 13 something. He says his soul, not his stomach, his soul is satisfied. There is food which fills your stomach. Eh? Then there is food which fills your soul. Yes, it's Proverbs 13. The righteous eat to their... No, get it in case. A righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. Even food can satisfy your soul. Amen? There is food which you eat which satisfies your stomach. But there is food which you eat which is going to satisfy, and you feel nice. Eh? You eat and you feel good. And it's not just your stomach which is full, your soul is full. Praise the Lord. And then when you go out and eat in a nice atmosphere and what, it's things are different. So Mr. Utuama, don't be busy all the time. I have what, I have work. No, go and satisfy yourself. Otherwise you become mean. That's how people become mean, because their souls are, you know, you can eat, eh? But the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Now, praise the Lord. Now, everyone, there's something different. Eh? Somebody will say, when I go and, man, it, makes me. Now for me, when I go and hear water, making noise, the waves and what, and then I have my cappuccino there, my soul is satisfied. Praise the Lord. Now everyone has his own thing. Now my point is this: do not neglect the satisfaction of your soul, the things that make you happy, the comedians you like watching. You understand? Who will make you laugh and you get up? Because laughter is medicine. You know that. Now there are people who God. That's why God gave certain people that. Now I remember some guy was my friend. Suddenly he passed away, but he was the master. I've never seen somebody who is the master of self-deprecating humor. Like, he makes fun of his own things, and you can laugh, and he's so funny. But he doesn't laugh when he can gather people there and they are laughing and he's talking and he's serious. But everybody is in stitches, and for him, he does not even smile. And he's talking very funny things, but he's in a serious face. Now, that guy used to make us laugh. I remember when we were in school and you're broke, at break time and you're hungry, you just call the guy. Then, man, you forget that, because it was a talent. But you see now here, even in our country, the guy ends up like a second-rate engineer. If he was a comedian, he would be. Now I see people doing comedy who have no talent. Now for him, he ended up, like, there's nothing about him that wasn't funny. When they locked him up one day in Luzira for 6 months, the guy came out and was telling me about Luzira. And it was funny. Like, he's making fun of his misery. And you're laughing, and then you even start asking yourself, is it right for me to laugh about somebody's misery? And now, when I would listen to him, the first time I met him, I had just gone to school. I was so depressed. By the way, I think God sent him to me as a gift, because I was on the brink of being depressed completely. I was wondering, I was saying, man, what's this? Then this gentleman came. It was called Ogola. Some guy from Tororo. He came, and I was seated there thinking so many things and almost on the brink of depression. Then Ogola started telling stories. Like, I laughed. I remember even my back started paining. I had to lie down on my back. Like, I laughed. By the time he was through, all the depression had gone. Praise the Lord. So if there's somebody who can, don't be too religious. Like, you don't know how to make yourself happy. God is not the devil. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants you to be happy. That's why he puts all these things to soothe your soul, and you're happy. What makes you happy? I enjoy watching this. You know what? And then, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, and don't think that the devil doesn't know what he's doing by twisting all these things, getting people who are not talented in the area, putting them this way. He knows what he's doing. Because when your soul is aggrieved, you'll not be in faith, you'll not be happy, you'll not worship. That's how people get angry, because they have not. There are people, and it's a master of giving you things which, something which you thought you wanted, but without its value. For instance, he gives you money, but without a value. Do you know what I'm saying? There are people there who have millions. But if you ask him, when was the last time you went on holiday? He has never done. Whereas there are people who have modest money, but they will tell you, the other day we were here, we were on a cruise, where, we were on what? And they don't have a lot. When they come back, their bank is empty, their account is empty. But their soul is full. Now somebody somewhere, his account is full, but his soul is empty. Praise the Lord. Rather choose a full soul and be happy. Come back when you're happy. Man, I went to the Swiss Alps, and I was, what do they call it? Skiing. That's not my idea of what? Of fun. But you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. Who wants snow? But some people, it might be your idea of fun. Just. Now, you can have the ability to do it, but you've never done it. Because the devil will deceive you. Now you have this need. You have the other need. Let me tell you, you go for holiday and you come back and the same needs which you left still be there. And they would still be there even if you hadn't gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want you to remember this. No shame. No shame, no disgrace. Nothing. Jesus took all of it. All of it, regardless of what you did, all of it. You will never be ashamed. You will never be disgraced. That's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. So now, you're free to go and enjoy your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Let me say a word there. I'm going to meet him. Anybody who is sick? Anybody who has a testimony? Come. Rego, how is Canada? You went back?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how is it?
It was very wonderful. But now I'm relocating to Australia.
Hey?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Leaving on the 1st of September.
Okay. Yes, that's wonderful.
Thank you, Papa, for everything you do. I follow you.
What are you going to do in Australia?
12 years ago, the Lord told me he would send me to Australia as a missionary.
Hey? Yeah. So you're going to be a missionary?
I'm setting up a mission base in Australia.
Mission base?
Yes, sir.
You know those days missionaries used to be broke. I hope you are not like them. You don't look like a missionary.
I look like a businessman. But I want to thank God for the grace upon Papa Joseph. You know, I used to hear about miracle money, miracle money, miracle money. Mm. But I thank God that when I went to Canada, my finances shifted. I now get everything I want without any hassle. And I want to thank God for you. Mm. And I came to pick my bride, but... I came to pick my bride.
Your bride?
Yes. Yeah, but somebody jeopardized the plan. Yeah, but God is a good God.
What did the person do? It's okay. Don't tell us.
They hacked into my messages. But I thank God. So on the 1st of September, I'll be relocating to Australia.
Okay.
And that's where things will happen.
That's where things will happen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Amen, sir.
That's wonderful. Nice seeing you.
And I thank you for the love you have for me.
Nice seeing you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Papa.
Mm-hmm.
So last Friday when Papa called up people who were sick, I came to the front with an issue of my brother-in-law who had colon cancer, and he was in severe pain and hospitalized. Actually, at that time, he was actually being transfused. So I stood in the gap, and then Papa asked for his picture, which was displayed on the screen. So we prayed for him. So at that point, I believed that he was actually completely fine. And yeah, my husband was also in attendance. So then we happened to call him on Tuesday this week to find out how he was doing. And then he told us that he hadn't had pain for the past 4 days. So when we counted 4 days back, it was actually on Friday that pain actually stopped. So he had a peaceful sleep all through Friday, then Saturday, until today. And then when we actually got to him today, before coming, he told us the pain has never returned. He's been well. Yeah, so from severe pain to like nothing, totally nothing.
You said he had what cancer?
Colon cancer.
Is he healed?
Yes, I believe he is healed. Okay, he's still going through medication, but then the fact that there is no pain totally, and yet it was like too much, like severe pain to like totally nothing.
Okay.
Like he's actually, when he told us, it was at that point, but my husband actually told him what happened. We told him, we were actually at Watchman Fellowship, and he displayed your picture, and we prayed for you, and he was actually amazed and happy. Yeah, because he was also wondering. It was so strange, because it hadn't happened. Like, it was just too much to now nothing totally.
Okay.
Yes.
Now let's believe for complete healing.
Amen.
Let's just agree. Thank you. What's his name?
T. Timothy Segujia.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, we all agree, everybody agree that Timothy Segujia is healed completely.
Amen.
And we, I rebuke that cancer.
Amen.
And I command it to come out of his body completely.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
No cancer. Amen. Complete and total healing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Papa.
Okay. Hmm. Don't show us this picture again. He's now healed.
Thank you, Papa.
You show us the picture when he's walking. Huh?
At the start of the year, the Lord led me to sow a first fruit seed.
Mm.
And I did. And sometime last week, it just came back to my mind. But the entire week, the Lord had led me to praise and dance. Whenever I'd wake up to pray, I just want to praise and dance.
Mm.
So a watcher called me and told me there's a job, and it's a full-time job. And of course, I was a bit scared, but I said, you know what? Behold, I do a new thing. And this is my new thing.
Mm.
So I went for the interview on Tuesday, and I'm starting in August.
Yes. I have two testimonies on healing. Last year, I got pain in my right leg, my left leg. And for the past year and a half, I've been limping. I went to see doctors. They were saying I had to have hip replacement, but I decided, I was like, I have to receive my healing, and I started meditating on healing a month ago, and for the past 3 weeks I have been walking well. I've not been limping, and I am healed. The second testimony, last week you prayed for people who had pain during periods.
Mm.
I didn't have severe pain, but it would be very, it would be a very annoying season. And there would be a lot of discomfort and a bit of pain. So yesterday, I started getting the pain, and I remembered the word. I prayed, I received my healing, and immediately, instantly, the pain went away. I didn't have to take any painkiller. I got home, like, today I didn't, I even forgot that it's that period, that season. It was so surprising because usually on some days you get a lot of discomfort, you need to be in a comfortable place, you need a painkiller, but nothing. So I give.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabon Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.
Amen. So just get that in your mind. It is supposed to be smooth. You go through it and it, you know. I know some of you are looking at me saying, what do you know about it? You're a man. You will be fine. Because you might be saying, yeah, you look at you, you're saying, what do you know about this? I know what the scripture says. Eh? Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, God bless you.